Okay then. I'll start by saying you're listening to Sim Racers Weekly on SidePod Radio by SidePodcast.com. So thanks for tuning in and welcome to the show. My name's Scott Woodwiss. Along with me here is my good friend and fellow Sim Racer Gavin Brown. So thanks for appearing on the show with me, Gavin.
Hello, everybody.
Okay then. So here's what we've got lined up over the next 60 minutes, or hopefully. First up, we're running through some of the main news stories around in the Sim Racing world, which you can find at short notice anyway. And then we have a look at some of the upcoming titles on both console and PC and discuss what we can expect from them. Then we're having a break, and after that we have a double whammy with both a first impression of Need for Speed Shift and a review of Colin McRae Dirt 2 before rounding up with us two here reminiscing about past racing titles and giving tips on how to start in sim racing yourself. And I'm also, if you guys have any questions or comments about anything we're discussing here, please feel free to post them, or even if Mr. C or Christine have any questions about what we're talking about, not a problem. We'll try and fit them in into what we're currently talking about as we go along. Okay, so if we're ready, let's get cracking with the news. And we're going to start with news of Simbin, the company who are famous for the GTR and Race series on the PC and recently on Xbox 360 with Race Pro. They have announced the beta build of a game called Real Time Racing. And this is a piece of software in conjunction with a piece of software called iOpener Media, which allows us mere mortals to race virtually with real drivers. Well, okay, maybe not literally, but how it works is the software takes GPS data and telemetry from the real race cars on track and replicates the position, direction, speed, etc. into the game. So effectively, if it was being done with an F1 game, you could race against Barrichello or Button, Hamilton and Raikkonen, etc. in real time in the game. So it all sounds very exciting. Gavin, what are your thoughts on this one?
The real-time racing game. Yeah, well, I've signed up for the email promising news and playlists and everything, and I've received sweet FA about it. So what I understand, basically, about it is that it's some kind of thing where you race against GPS cars. So you could effectively race against the real Lewis Hamilton or get crashed into by the real Kimi Raikkonen if you're pretending to be Adrian Sutil. But what the weird thing is, how would that work? I mean, are we racing ghosts or are we racing solid cars? Because if we were racing a real car with a collision and you collide against this GPS character and they go off, I mean, what happens? So maybe perhaps we're racing against a ghost, which means you could just plow through people and not overtake properly, which I don't think was a proper sim race. It's more of a time trial, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. They've already done some successful testing with a few sports cars out on the Zolder circuit, and they've actually had a few testing with that, and it's gone off pretty well. They're also trying to get the beta testers together, but overall it looks pretty good, and we'll have a quick mention of this technology later on in another new story. So all in all, it looks pretty promising. It looks like an interesting experiment, and it could, if they can work out how to do this properly, could be quite successful. So that's that one. Next, we've got news of a modding group called SF International Pro Modding, and they've released a preview video of their new and upcoming FS1 2009 mod. It's basically a mod for the game R-Factor, featuring all the 2009 Formula One cars. So far, they've completed 5 car models that I'm aware of. They've done the Braun, the Red Bull, the Toro Rosso, the Renault, and the McLaren. And they are, of course, working on the others. And the video actually shows them in racing circuits such as Silverstone and Monza. And again, I'm not sure if you've watched this video, but I've watched it myself, and it does look... They have done really impressive. I've seen a lot of the renders which they've done for some of these cars, and it actually looks very impressive what they've done with the work. It's amazing, because R-Factor really is kind of a sandbox racing game. You can do quite a lot in terms of what you can modify, isn't it?
Right, so what have we seen here? You've seen a video of on-track action, have you?
Indeed. It's kind of like a preview video, kind of like a music kind of preview video of showing off some of the car models which they've built so far.
Right, right.
And I've seen some in-game renders, and they have done a very bang-up job as to what the kind of work they've done with the mod so far. I mean, the sounds, from what I heard, the sounds are all seem to be up to date, and everything looks good with the physics, so it looks like a promising mod. And I think, obviously, with R-Factor now sort of bowing out and R-Factor 2 on the way, I think this could be a good send-off, and hopefully it should be converted so you can play it on R-Factor 2. I know there are a couple of mods which are being developed at the moment.
Okay. So basically, we've only got 5 cars. Most of them are renders. So the way I see it is, if someone announces a mod and they've only got renders, then it doesn't exist until you get cars on the track. And then they're also saying that they can convert it to R-Factor 2. They've basically filled out all the cliches of a mod, where they've said they're going to do this, that, the other, and then convert it. So,
yeah,
it could well end up being vaporware, it could end up being nothing, or it could end up being the most awesome mod, but it's too far away from the release date to say anything at this moment.
Yeah, well, I mean, the video does actually show them on track. It does actually show the car actually running. It's obviously still some mods or so.
But still, if you've only got five cars, it's quite a way away. And the nature of modding means that people do it when they can, and so real life intervenes, and unfortunately these things can never get finished. So it's nice to say it could be a great mod, but it's nowhere near being finished yet. So I'll believe it closer to the date.
It's fine, okay then. Moving on then, there has been also an announcement that in 2011 there will be a new official World Rally Championship simulation game coming out. The only information we've got on it is that it will feature this eye-opener technology which we talked about earlier, and will also give us the chance, I suppose, to experience the new S2000 rules which have been implemented that year too. Obviously, I know, Gavin, you're a fan of WRC, and also the Intercontinental Rally Championship, which obviously uses these S2000 rules. How do you see this game working out?
Well, I'm certainly a fan of the S2000 idea because it's a cheaper way of making a rally car, and they do sound a lot better. The current WRC series this year, I've actually avoided it because it hasn't really been that exciting because of the transition. Rally games are always good, and they're great for simulators with the wheels and forced feedback and everything. So I would look at that one. It would be quite a nice looking sim. It's great for a good challenge, and they're normally quite difficult as well, so definitely worth a look.
Yeah, I mean, the last proper rally game which I know of was, if anyone knows of a game called Richard Burns Rally, and the best version of it is on the PC, because there's quite a few mods and cars coming out for it. There's actually, obviously, a group which has got a mod collect coming out, the RSRBR mod 2009. They're always adding new cars and tracks, and I think they're actually currently on their 9th update, which is pretty good. But and also Dirt 2, which obviously is a fun rally game as well, which we'll come on to later in the review. So yeah, it looks sounds promising. Hopefully it will turn out to be a very good game indeed. On now to iRacing, which is the popular online subscription racing sim. They have just recently unveiled that the Australian racetrack Phillip Island will be added to their circuit roster, and to accompany it, Ford have given permission to include their Falcon V8 supercar, the current spec 2009 one.
But not the Holden one?
No, as far as I know, they've only included the Ford one. You sound disappointed, okay. Dan.
No, you basically may as well not bother with that. Because the whole point of V8 supercars is Holden versus Ford. We are talking a fantastic rivalry here where it's like the old firm derby in football or something. So if you have a Ford, you've got to have the Holden. The thing with iRacing is a fantastic idea, but every single car they have is a spec car, in effect. They've got an old Formula 1 car, but they've only got one. Or they've got an Indy car, or they've got one kind of NASCAR. So that's great for figuring out who's the better driver and all that, but I guess they have to because of rankings. But part of racing for me is not all about spec series. You've got to have some engineering difference here. So, and also with Phillip Island, are they also going to model the really rubbish gravel trap on turn one so you can fly over the top and hit the car on the other side backwards like that guy did last week?
I guess, I mean, all the track, iRacing, all their circuits, they laser scan them. So I suppose if there is no barrier there, I suppose then they will have no barrier in the game, which I suppose is true to real life, I suppose. But I did see that incident there, and that was rather appalling. So the circuit safety that does need to be reviewed on that one. And also, you said something about NASCAR. That leads us to our final news story, which is that there is news that Electronic Arts, or EA, as they're more commonly, have actually dropped the NASCAR franchise from their EA Sports roster. Now, with the... that's kind of please Gavin no end there. With declining sales, it seems that the popularity has dropped, despite the real-life series being the biggest sport in America. But as far as the last game, which is NASCAR Online, did receive favourable reviews, but it simply wasn't enough for EA to keep it. But on the upside, of course, I suppose the NASCAR franchise in terms of NASCAR games isn't lost, because of course we do have, this is kind of a tie-in now to the next segment of our show, of course the NASCAR license has been secured by Bollicking Digital, who make the very popular Gran Turismo series. And so obviously Gran Turismo 5 will feature the official NASCAR series in there. So of course, actually, Gavin, you seem very excited, very happy that EA have dropped NASCAR.
Yeah, I mean, look, EA never did a good job in NASCAR. I've been playing the NASCAR EA games for 12 years now, and they've all been rubbish, basically. They've either had bad physics, not enough cars, or rubbish damage, or what NASCAR... When you play a NASCAR simulator, if you play the proper one, which the only proper one is the Papyrus one, which is now iRacing, NASCAR's all about strategy. It's about knowing when to stop, knowing when to pit, knowing when to pass, knowing when to push. Probably more so in Formula One in that respect. And EA didn't do any of that. It was absolutely rubbish. So I'm quite happy they've dropped it. They can go back to making whatever they make instead. Probably some drift racer or boy racer game or something.
Or something like Need for Speed Shift.
Something like Need for Speed Shift, where they seem to understand that kind of racing better than NASCAR. So as far as I'm concerned, NASCAR needs a game. There's a lot of fans and a lot of people love to play it. And even the real drivers like to play the proper sims, but EA can't do it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, there are some times that EA can get it right, because I've seen in the past with one game which I particularly did enjoy was F1 Challenge, 1999-2002. They did seem to get something right there in terms of motorsport, but NASCAR obviously really hasn't taken off.
Well, Formula One Challenge became R-Factor, The G-Motor engine evolved into R-Factor, but then it was also sold on to the GTR series and a couple others, so...
Yeah, okay then. Well, that kind of wraps up the news then. So there we go. That's kind of news. I hope you're clued up on what's happening in the sim racing world. I did believe that we are supposed to have some music, I think, because there's been a few tracks to be played. I was debating whether to leave them out or not. As you see, this is kind of like a hastily put-together show, obviously, with this one. So I did have a list of tracks, but I'm trying to bring it up for you. I'm prepared as I'll ever be.
Just Need for Speed Shift.
I think we're moving on now to the previews of some of the upcoming racing games we've got here coming up. I should tell you what, save time, we've got more to talk about. We'll leave the songs out and we'll continue talking on to the next segment of our show then, which is we're now going to start previewing some of the upcoming sim racer titles on both console and PC. And we're going to kick off for this one with, obviously, because Side Podcast is Formula related, we'll start talking about the new F1 2009 game that's coming out for the Wii and the PSP. Now, I have seen some pictures of this. I've still seen that there also was a video which Anthony Davidson commenting a lap of Monza with the car changing for all 11 cars in the series in the season. So in terms of what it looks like, it looks pretty impressive for a Wii game. And what are your thoughts, Gavin? Have you seen much of this game at all?
Very little. I wouldn't buy it for the Wii. I don't think Sim and Wii should go together. Because basically, I've got a Ferrari game for the Wii and I've got Mario Kart for the Wii. Mario Kart works fine, but the Ferrari game, it's just, the Wii wheel is a bit, it's a bit slapstick and you sort of chuck it to the side and you can't get any feeling. Even without force feedback, you normally get a feel for what's happening, but the free hands wheel is not very good for it. So I would imagine that the Formula One game for the Wii is going to be very arcadey. And it's going to have very light stuff in the way of sim. But I'm sure it will do well. A lot of people will buy it. A lot of Formula One fans will buy it. But if you're going to go hardcore, then you probably want to get the PC version. Probably the PS3 version will be good as well. Because I've been convinced by Gran Turismo 5 that the PS3 can do a proper sim. If it's done properly.
Yeah, I mean, I have seen some reviews of the F1 2009 game. I remember watching that video and there's some comments. So they're actually going to leave the game because it wasn't a simulation. But I mean, I looked at that and I thought, well, it's on the Wii. You're not going to expect it to be a sim racing game at all. It's there as kind of an arcade.
No, and, but we're covering it as part of a sim racers program. So I'm looking at it from that angle.
Of course, yeah. I mean, obviously that as I said, there's been criticism that it's not a sim game, but of course you have to understand it is on the Wii. So they're trying to make it as sim as possible, but obviously at the same time. Still fun enough for people to play, and I'm sure if people understand that, obviously then they'll might go towards it. And obviously because there is the next year there is going to be a proper console and PC game for next season's F1 championship, for next year's F1 championship, and that is what Codemasters themselves have said, the ones who are developing it. They have said that it is going to be a full simulation, and they have already started laser scanning some of the tracks. I've seen some images some months ago of laser scans of Spa. So they already have started work, and they've taken suggestions a lot. They listen to a lot on their forums to their community of what they want. So I think that skipping 2009, obviously 2009 will probably be fun on the Wii, and also it's on the PSP as well, so anyone who has a PSP will be able to experience it as well. But for F1 2010, it's going to be, I think it's going to be really, really interesting to see how Comos can pull off a proper full simulation. And because they've done it with Grid, they've done Dirt 2. They're not entire simulations, but they...
Yeah, I wasn't happy with Grid. I played it on, albeit on a controller, I played it on the Xbox, and yeah, it didn't feel very good. You don't feel like what you do is how it reacts properly. I don't know. But I think I think they've admitted themselves that Grid wasn't a proper sim. The problem here is, though, if you make a proper full-on simulator, you're only catering for 10% of the racing game audience, and therefore 90% will just turn to an easier game. There are some instances in the past where a sim racing game hasn't done very well just for that reason.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there's classic cases, but things like Richard Burns Rally, Grand Prix Legends, and GTR, all brilliant games, all brilliant simulation games, but because their simulation, they haven't sold well, and that's the reason why. And
I would disagree with GTR, though. I mean, my 8-year-old nephew can play it, so if he can play it, then it's fine. But definitely GPL and Richard Burns Rally. Every time Richard Burns Rally, I just crash all the time. But it's great fun. So
it is indeed. Okay, now moving from PC onto console, we're now going to look at, we touched on it just briefly, let's have a look at Gran Turismo 5 then, coming up.
Just before we do this, just a couple of comments. Stephen Daniels has had a few comments. He says that NASCAR games are about realising you should be turning right as well as left. He also said that Formula 1 on PlayStation 3 was great, so I'm sure he'll be buying the new Formula 1 game. I agree with him about the Formula 1 game too. And he also said it's kind of hard to find the proper simulator games in Oklahoma, so I guess you could look on the internet and buy them through there. I mean, I know Race is available on Steam. I'm not sure about the others, but there's always a way around it. So
yeah, I mean, obviously there's places like Amazon.com, always a great place to find new and used copies of these games. And
I mean, we're talking about a niche product, so you're not going to find it at your local Best Buy or equivalent. It is getting more difficult to do that. So the internet model is the way to distribute your games, and it's cheaper for them as well, so.
It is, yeah. Okay, then, just going back to Gran Turismo 5 then. Of course, Gran Turismo really has defined on consoles the racing game genre. I'm not sure if you'd agree with me on that one, Gavin. Ever since the first one came out back in, must have been about 97 or so, it really has kind of defined, in terms of console racing, it really has defined the genre. And over
indeed,
the years...
Indeed it has. I mean, it started a whole subculture.
It did, and... Moving through the years, there was obviously the second game and the third, and then there was the concept version they had, and then they also had the prologue to the fourth and the actual fourth game. Now, it's 5 years down the line, and we still don't have a Gran Turismo 5. Well, we have number 5 prologue, but it's just that, a prologue. We don't have the full game yet. And this is kind
of... what a prologue that is. I mean, it's fantastic.
I would agree that to some extent. I mean, I have played the game myself, not with a wheel, admittedly. I've only played it with a controller.
Neither.
But it really, as far as the graphics personally are brilliant. I mean, how they can get the light in the cockpit in the cockpit cameras, the light reflections are brilliant. The sounds are a bit more up to spec, but you can't fault Gran Turismo on the graphics. They really had, in terms of at the time when the first one came out, the graphics really did set a standard. They were just absolutely mind blowing.
Indeed, and the feel in Gran Turismo 5 is a lot better than the previous games. I mean, the thing with Gran Turismo is it is very good, but it always lacks in a certain area, that is you only race against 6 cars. It's more of a driving game than a racing game per se, but I think they're onto a winner with this one. What I've seen and what I've played of it, it's very good. I mean, the damage model looks very good. I mean, we have a damage model, first of all, which is brilliant. It's the first time we have one in Gran Turismo. And
indeed.
I saw a video, I think, was it a Subaru Impreza going around Paris or something, where doors and things were flapping off, and it looked very much like how I would have a racing car if it was in real life, all bits hanging off and me crashing everywhere. So it's got potential. I mean, Gran Turismo 4 for me was always brilliant because I used to work in a TV shop, and Friday evenings we had to work late and nobody came in, so we would basically play in Nürburgring and see who could get the best lap around the Nordschleife on it, and it was great fun.
Only way to do it. I mean, obviously I have fond memories of Gran Turismo 4, and at the time it was cutting edge, and obviously the graphics were brilliant. it had the old Nürburgring, and that was really, the choice of cars was brilliant. You had over like 700 cars, but I think since Gran Turismo 4 and moving into Gran Turismo 5, I've kind of lost patience with them. And the fact is because, you know, it's taken them 5 years to get to this point. I mean, I can understand that obviously they're modifying the system, they had to rebuild the whole physics system and the whole graphics and sounds all from scratch because they wanted a brand new physics model.
It doesn't take 5 years, though. To be honest, they're doing a lot of things that PC games have always had, graphically and physically, if you like. So there's not a lot of groundbreaking stuff, although it is very good. So I'm not sure what the delay is caused by. But from the comments, Lukey said he wasn't a fan of Prologue at all, so perhaps he won't be going for Gran Turismo 5 when it finally comes out.
Yeah. I mean, the issue which I and a lot of other people who have played Gran Turismo have is that when you have something like Subaru Impreza or Nissan Skyline, they don't just model one spec of the certain generation. They have to go ahead for some reason and model eight different specs of the same model. And they're eight different because either if it's in year or if it's got slightly different wheels or if it's got, I don't know, a different format of air conditioning, I don't know, or something like that. I don't know why. It's just they for example, there's obviously three different types of generation. Well, there's four now of the Skyline. And they've got the R32 Skyline. They've got the 1990 version, then the 92 version, then the 93, and then the 94. And you think to yourself, you don't need the different years. You just need one model. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, there's too many cars. I always suffer with things like this because if there's too much choice, I tend to do a bit of an Amy. Sorry, Amy, and I can't make a decision on what I want to do, and I end up just not really doing it. I'd rather just have 20 cars, 20 tracks, and just a few series or whatever, and yeah, go ahead with it.
Yeah. I mean, just going on to some of the content now. I mean, Gran Turismo have announced that there's going to be, from standard, 1,000 cars in the game. It's like, you don't need 1,000 cars. No. That's probably the reason why it's taken so long. It's because they've had to try and model 1,000 cars.
In the days of downloadable content, they could have released half that many cars and then charged a small fee for each individual car set or something. I mean,
yes.
That's what iRacing is doing, and that's what other racing games have done. I mean, why not?
Yeah, there are apparently going to be cars coming through as downloadable content, but I think now really we need to move on to some of the good points about Gran Turismo, because we have this game, because we have obviously slated quite a lot for things like take it so long. I think in terms of things it is getting right, they are going to include both full night and day cycles, apparently, and they are going to include fully changeable weather. They're going to have weather effects, so we are going to have things like rain and possibly fog.
Yeah, so that basically says that they want to basically simulate something like Le Mans properly or something similar.
I mean,
in Gran Turismo 4, if you did the 24-hour race, did it have night and day, or was it just the same daylight?
In Gran Turismo 4, it was the same daylight. There wasn't any. It was quite unrealistic. I mean, 24 hours of constant daylight. I mean, that's what you'd expect there in Antarctica, not down in France somewhere. But I mean, I think they are starting to get the point there as to what they need to do with it. I mean, the damage model, from what I've seen, there is a damage model, but there's supposed to be a major advancement coming. In terms of other content they've got, there are going to be some really good tracks. Of course, there's the Nürburgring, there's Le Mans. They've added car circuits like Daytona and also Indianapolis, I spotted as well in one of the trailers. They've also got the Top Gear test track as well, because they've done a deal with BBC, because there is something on Caprella called Gran Turismo TV. And what they've done is they've actually decided to feature on there, done a deal saying, okay, we'll put Top Gear, if you let us put Top Gear on Gran Turismo TV, we'll put the test track in the game, and it's in there. I think there is a shot of two Le Mans cars going down a runway in the E3 trailer. Yeah. And I think that is actually predicted the Top Gear test track because the buildings match up from the GPS thing.
Maybe if they can get the rights to it. But from the comments, Mr. Sears said, surely you can't play for 24 hours. Not really if you want to live. What happens is the computer can take over for you. In fact, a friend of mine did that to finish one of the challenges. You got the computer to take over and finish the race for him. But I have heard stories of crazy people meeting up in groups of three or four and doing the proper 24 hours of a stint and then a rest and then a stint. And they basically say at the end that they feel like they're walking zombies. So not something I would try. I tend to race for about half an hour tops before I get a bit tired. So
yeah, I mean, I would agree that there are people out there who will you will play it like a real 24-hour race.
Anyway,
people do that.
I think we've talked a lot about Gran Turismo here. I don't know. You've just bought Need for Speed Shift, which is an actual game that really exists. So I was wondering what you thought of that game instead.
Sure. Okay. Well, we can move on to that one. I do believe we had you have a break coming up.
Yes, we do. So maybe we should discuss this after the break.
We should do. I think so. What we'll do is we'll hand over to Christine and Mr. C to play us F1 Minute, and after the break, we will go on to our double whammy, first impressions of Shift and the review of Dirt 2. So stay tuned and join us after the break.
Thanks, guys. Much appreciated.
Very good.
Lovely, lovely links there. Stay on the phone, and we'll be back very shortly.
Welcome back then to Sim Racers Weekly, and we're now going to move on to the double whammy reviews we have here. First of all, on Friday, I was fortunate enough to purchase the brand new Need for Speed game, which is Need for Speed Shift. It's come out on, as far as I know, on the Xbox 360, PS3, PC, and also the PSP. Now, as far as I know, I've had this game now for Friday, also over the weekend, and I'm ready to give my first impressions. So, I suppose if anyone wants to give me any questions at all as to anything regarding Need for Speed Shift, of course I'm sure Gavin's got some questions as well for me. Trying to think where to start on this one. Let's explain what Need for Speed Shift is. Of course, anyone who's familiar with the Need for Speed franchise, it's all about fast cars and fast racing. They've gone down this route with trying to make it more of a simulation game. They've included real life tracks. Of course, you've got circuits like the old Nürburgring, you've got Silverstone, Brands Hatch, Donington, Spa, also a couple of American tracks, Road America, and also one which is where there's springs, and Laguna Seca is in there as well. Some fictional circuits in real world locations like one London and Tokyo, also some fantasy tracks as well. And in terms of car content, you've got about 65 to 70 cars ranging from an old Toyota Corolla and a Mazda MX-5 or a Ford Escort Cosworth, moving up through BMWs and Audis and Porsches and Lamborghinis, up to big cars like the Bugatti Veyron or Pagani Zonda or the Koenigsegg. So there's something in there in terms of diversity of what you can upgrade with the cars. All the cars are fully upgradable, so you can put on there like body kits, nitrous, engine upgrades, tyre, suspension, brakes, a lot of things you can do on there.
How do you upgrade a Veyron? How do you upgrade it from the fastest, most powerful car on the planet?
It's possible. I mean, the Veyron was included in the last two Need for Speed games, which were Undercover and Pro Street. Obviously, it's the other way around. It's Pro Street, then Undercover. So it is possible to upgrade it. How, I don't know why, but you can upgrade it. And I haven't tried it because I haven't got that far in the career mode. I started the career with an Escort Cosworth, and I've modified that up a bit, and I've now currently got a BMW M3. It's one of the older models. In terms of, let's see where we can start. Just kick off about, let's talk about the graphics first. The graphics of this game are, personally, I think, look absolutely stunning. I mean, the attention to detail they've got. I mean, they've even modelled things like the little bolts. If you've got body kit on, little bolts on the body kit. That's how detailed they've managed to get this game. The lighting, you can set the lighting to either dawn, afternoon, or dusk. So obviously you get the proper light effects. You've got incredible detail. The sounds are pretty good on the game. Obviously you've got things like the proper royalty V8s of like the Ford GT or a Corvette, V6 and Nissan 350Z. You've got proper supercharger and turbocharger blow-off valves and supercharger winds.
So it's quite very detailed in terms of what you can do to the cars and things. And so what's the point of the racing? Is it just stock standard class racing, or is there a story behind it, or how does one progress through the game, I guess?
Well, there are, as far as I see, there are four tiers. You can go from tier one up to two, three, and four. And then, so obviously you start from tier one with obviously tier one cars, a different class of cars between what tiers. You've got tier one, you've got cars like the Ford Escort or VW Scirocco, you've got the Seat Lane, you've got quite a few little BMW, got the BMW 135, and you just get to pick a car from the beginning. How the career mode starts is that they take you for a lap, they get you to do a lap around Brands Hatch, the Indy circuit, in a BMW M3, and depending on your lap time and how...
Does it have the full Brands Hatch circuit?
Yes, they have the full Brands Hatch circuit, they've got the full Grand Prix circuit as well. And based on how you've driven that lap, they suggest how to, what settings you should have in terms of difficulty, what age you should have on, how difficult you should have the AI, how realistic the damage is, and it kind of take the I'm trying to think of the word here. The game kind of tailors to how you drive the game. So if you drive very conservatively, they'll try and put the aids on so it's as easy for you to drive as possible. Honestly, at the moment, I try to drive it on medium difficulty with no stability control, low traction control, and also the ABS on. I have the damage on full, pro on the professional physics model, and obviously with manual gears because I can't stand running automatic. I always use manual.
Are you using this with a wheel or a controller?
Indeed, I'm using it with a wheel. It's a Logitech DriveFX, and with the wheel, it's with the wheel, it feels more involving. You feel more. It's a bit more true to real life, because it's with a controller, it's either just moving a stick left and right to try and steer it. With a wheel, you can be more precise, be more realistic. So if you want to go into a corner, but not give it too much lock and just not have the steering too jerky, you can be more smoother with the wheel. And obviously, with the pedals, you can also balance the accelerator and the brakes as well, which is pretty good. So. I'm trying to think of some good points. One great point.
Well, Lukey from the comments wants you to talk about the bizarre decision with Spa. Now, can you explain what that's about?
Yes. Obviously, nobody knows there were some modifications done with Spa in real life for 2007. But for some strange reason, they haven't included the modern version. They've included the version from, say, 2003, 2004. So they haven't got the new bus stop chicane and the new extended pit straight. They've gone for the version which we saw in, say, like 2004. Which I find really confusing, because you've got games like Race Pro and also Grid, who can feature the game, you know, he can feature the circuit, rather, in its current form. But for some reason, either EA ran out of time, or
license.
Possibly. I mean, obviously, they might have not had time. They might have actually scanned the Spa circuit, but then obviously they've not had a chance to go back when the modifications were gone there because they were too busy working on the game, which I find quite confusing because we've had quite a few Spa games come out. Need to be games coming out since then, so there wasn't really. I'd like to know what their excuses on that one. I've had a quick question here from Alex Angelov. Have either of you two driven a real car on track so you can compare? I'm not sure. I haven't driven yet because I'm still taking my driver lessons.
I've only really done go-karts, but the principle is the same, I guess. But I will say that with a lot of these sim racing games, the real drivers, we were talking about people like Dale Earnhardt, Oliver Gavin, Justin Wilson, a lot of the Formula One drivers, Jack Villeneuve was a famous one, that they learned the circuits and they practice using these sim racing tools. And Justin Wilson went as far as saying that it helps him actually set up his car ready for the race. So they must be pretty good in terms of simulating the real thing, although I guess nothing can be as realistic as the real thing.
No, of course. I mean, obviously, there is...
And, of course, so each Grand Prix team has their own simulator now, and they actually use it to test out bits of the car, so...
Yeah, I mean, I know for a fact, to some extent, that Ferrari actually use a build of R-Factor as a simulator, because I've seen videos on their YouTube account with Mark Genet driving, and they actually do use a build of R-Factor. So obviously Williams have their own simulator, and of course also so do Red Bull. I think Red Bull use our factor as well. I'm not entirely sure because there was an article in F1 Racing of their simulator, and I believe what I saw somewhere that is a build of our factor, so that's quite interesting.
Right.
Let's try and talk about. Let me try and pick out some of the game's flaws. Okay, first of all, with the physics, they've tried to make the game. They try to get it more to simulation, but I think they haven't quite got there. They're trying to tail again, so it's a mix of arcade and simulation, because we're trying to concentrate on the simulation focus here. For me, the cars are a bit oversteer. I mean, if you're in something like a four-wheel drive car, so for example, like an Evo or an Impreza, the handling is relatively fine, because you've got all the traction there, that's fine, all the traction for four wheels. But if you're in a relatively tuned-up car like my BMW, for example, you know, you can't really get on the power that much. You can, but obviously you've got to be prepared to counter-steer, otherwise the car will just spin. You get a lot of revs for the wheel spin, and the car will risk spinning out. I mean, I have spun that quite a few times. There was a race I was doing in a Honda S2000 at a Browns hatch coming out of Graham Hill Bend, put the accelerator, and the car just spun. And obviously you can try and control it, but the car just spun itself, and that wasn't relatively a lot of power. So I think it really is something that would have needed to really have worked on. I mean, obviously there was a fix which I saw somewhere on a website, in a forum, who actually suggested some settings for the wheel, and obviously then a glitch where to put in the quick tune settings, you can quick tune your car so you can have it so you can have more oversteer or more understeer. You can change the downforce levels by just one slider. You can have a car bounce to more speed or more acceleration. You can change that kind of thing, you know, or you can change how light or how heavy the steering is. You can change it in as quick tune settings, or you can go into more advanced settings and and properly play about with the cars, like the springs, the dampers, gear ratios, proper wing levels, things like that. So you can go into and properly in depth tune the car. Okay.
So what do you reckon, Scott? Is it worth me going out and buying it, or should I be renting it? Or should I be coming around your house with beer and playing it on Friday night?
Well, I mean, if I had to be perfectly honest, best thing you should do is wait for the demo to come out, because if you're on PC, the demo's already out. Obviously, the thing which I find puzzling is that they didn't bring out the demo before the game, they're bringing it out after. But the demo for the console version, I believe, comes out right at the beginning of October. So if you want to go and try, if you're not really sure about it, go ahead and try the demo. And from what I've seen, some people, they love the game. I think it's fantastic. But I think it really is a preference of choice. So whether if you want to get something, if you want to try something which is something new in this new speed, it's a new direction for new speed. So if you want to try that, that's fine. If you're not really a fan of it, then obviously that I can appreciate that. But it's all down to preferences. Personally, I think there's things that can work on, like the physics, and also the AI. I was going to point out as well very quickly. They are overly aggressive. I mean, there's been races which own some day which I was doing. You turn the corner normally, you're not being aggressive, just being less precise, and their AI will just hit you. There's no reason. They just forget to brake, or they're too aggressive, right. And they'll bump you off the race circuit. Even times when you crash, they don't really stop or slow down. They just keep going.
So, do you think they used a combination of Takuma Sato, David Coulthard, and Nelson Piquet to model the AI then?
Possibly. They possibly did. I don't know. It's shift looks good. It has its flaws, has its strengths. So, obviously, I'll let you guys make your own mind upon that one. It's obviously something which obviously you guys need to decide if you want to go ahead and get it. Personally, it's good so far. If you can get into it and you can put up with the bad, you can put up with how to, you can learn how to get around the physics and the aggressive AI. It is a good game, from what I can see. There's plenty of cars and tracks to choose from, and it looks like a really enjoyable game. So, yeah, if I had to give it an initial rating out of 10, I'd probably give it 7.5, to be honest, because obviously there's things that could be improved on, but obviously overall it's a pretty good game.
Okay, so maybe we should move into the next part of the show where we've actually got a question from the comments that leads perfectly into it, and that's from Jackie. Jackie's question, repeated by Mr. C, is, what would you say to, or how would you encourage people who think sim racing is just a boy's toy for people who can't drive themselves?
Okay, and also I was just saying, Alexandra just bumped that one as well. So, okay then, let's move to the last part of the show. Obviously, unfortunately, we didn't get time to move on to the Dirt 2 demo review, because obviously it looks like we ran out of time on that one, speaking about shift. But no matter, we'll continue on. That's not a problem. So we'll go on to looking at how people can just get started sim racing. Now, sim racing is more related with PC games, isn't it? And obviously, there's not really that many proper sim titles, so apart from games like Race Pro now, things like Shift and Forza 3 coming out as well. They're kind of forms for the console, but for PC, to get really started, encourage them. I mean, I suppose it kind of gives you, I'm trying to think of the word here, it kind of gives you the sense of a really successful, if you wanted to drive something like a Formula One car or a touring car or a sports car, but obviously you think that you'll never have the chance to properly experience what it'd be like to handle. That's what simulation is there for. It simulates the physics, it simulates also the graphics and the real look of them, the sounds, the lighting and everything, you know, how everything, in terms of all the internals and the cockpit and everything. And I think really it's just so you can experience something which obviously you'll in real life, you'll never be able to experience for real, but it gives you a chance to experience it for yourself as close to the real thing as possible. Obviously, as we said, nothing can get close to the real thing. We've already said that. But I think it really is down to, if you want to experience something, it's like a Formula One car, but nearly never a chance to. A sim game gives you the closest opportunity to driving one.
Yeah. So how would you recommend, say, someone like Jackie would maybe might be interested in starting to be a sim racer. So how would she go about starting in on the road to becoming a sim racer? What does she need to do to get going?
Well, first of all, the best sims are normally on a PC, so you probably need a fairly high-end spec PC, I reckon. In terms of what kind of specs, I would have thought you probably know more on that one, Gavin, than me. Because I mean, it depends. What would you say would be a fairly decent spec PC for something like a sim racing game? What would you, in your opinion, say about that?
Well, these days you don't necessarily need a PC with the wheels and things that come out for the PlayStations and that. I mean,
yeah.
To get started, you basically need a PC with a good graphics card that can play games with reasonable 3D graphics, so you don't have to turn the sliders down. Once you get going, you need a good internet connection so you can play online against other people, and a decent steering wheel. These days, I think you can get a good steering wheel for—I'm not sure what it would be in pounds—but would you say £100 is quite reasonable for a good steering wheel these days?
I'd say probably roughly about 100, 150, depending on what you're going for. I mean, the best ones you normally get are ones by companies called Fanatec. They always bring out—they've done a deal with Porsche to bring out, because I think it's the 911 GT3 and GT3 RS wheels. But the best ones for me I've always experienced is the Logitech ones. Logitech have really been good in terms of wheels. I know the fact that you've got a G25, I believe, Gavin. You've got one of those, haven't you?
I've splashed out and gone for quite a high-end one called a Logitech G25. It's got force feedback and a proper gear shifter. However, you don't need to splash out that much. I mean, I'm quite extreme with this sort of thing. But once you have the wheel, the computer, and the network connection, you need to look at a good sim racing title. If we're talking PC, probably R-Factor or GTR, or there are a few others, such as some older ones as well that are lying around. On the PlayStation, probably Gran Turismo 5, Dirt, Shift, or Race Driver Grid. So I think most of those are on the Xbox too, apart from Gran Turismo, I think.
And
then from there, I mean, you can basically install the game and make sure you're comfortable with driving around the track. And then the best thing to do after that is find the forums for these games. So, for example, R-Factor, there's an R-Factor central website where you can download modifications for the game, such as new cars or new tracks. And then you can join a league, which means you can start racing against real people. There are casual leagues, just turn up and play, or there are leagues which have organized meets at dedicated times. And they even go as far as racing championships, but that's quite an extreme thing to do. I don't personally go for the leagues because I don't have the time to commit to them, but I do casually race sometimes. And Pat from the comments says that you can get a more basic but decent steering wheel for about £40. So really, that's quite reasonable. That's the cost of a game. So
yeah, I mean, I can agree with that. I mean, the wheel which I've got here for my 360, which is the Logitech Drive FX, I picked that up on Amazon for just over £30, and it's a brilliant wheel. I mean, it's, you know, and you can use it. It's got a USB connector. You can use it as a PC wheel. So you know, so it's pretty good in that retrospect. I mean, just touching back on games you can have on the console, one which I point out is the upcoming game Forza 3. Forza Motorsport 3, I have talked about this quite a bit in the comments, where they're trying to cater for a more casual gamer. Trying to turn car lovers into gamers and vice versa. So they've got all these different aids on, like.
But how would we convince somebody who thinks it's just boys' toys that it's actually something else? I mean, I would say that the fact that the real racing drivers use it as a training tool means that it's more than just a toy, it's more than just a game, that if you want to, you can get quite serious, or you can be quite casual and just have a pickup race if you like. Would you agree with that, or Scott?
Just a second.
Okay, while Scott's down, I don't know if you can still hear me, but Stuart C has asked an excellent question. He said, what tactics do you use with your woman folk in order to create time for schedule for playing these games? That's that's quite a good question. Yes, it's always a difficult thing to justify, I guess. I would say that there are times when, for example, my wife's gone out or she's watching a TV program I don't like, and that's when I'm sort of having a bit of fun playing a game then, but I certainly don't really try and do that neglect my time with my wife, because that's not a very good thing to do. So, but yeah, are you back, Scott? Go for it.
Yeah, no, that was my fault. Damn my phone. I think that obviously there is a time and a place for sim racing. I think that's what you're saying. There is a time and a place for it. But obviously, you don't want it to take over your life. I mean, obviously, it's something just casual. So it is a bit of fun. So if you can get into it and you can find a few people who are like-minded and just want to have a bit of fun and go, well, there are people who just do it casually. So they'll meet up online and they'll just run laps. So they'll run a few races online for fun. They'll just do some practice laps and they're just going to have a good time. I mean, I know one good sim to get started off in is Live for Speed. And that's not essentially got rid of stick cars or tracks. But it's good because you have got like a driving school there. It's like a driving school mode. You can train, you can build up your skills, and you can go in different levels of cars. You can get a little hatchback or a little rear-wheel drive coupe. You can have the support of the BMW, and there's also a BMW F1 car. So,
another question I'll ask you was, as you're the console guy here, what would you recommend as a sim racing game for the console?
If I had to recommend one for the future, I would have to recommend the upcoming Forza 3. It's out on October 23rd in Britain. It's out and also in Japan as well. It's also out on October the 27th as well. It's out on October 23rd in Europe, and it's out on October 27th in America. And because they're trying to cater it for the more casual gamer and the casual person who loves cars, because their aim was to try and turn car lovers into gamers. And vice versa, gamers into car lovers. So, for example, they've added all these new assists in, like auto braking, and obviously there's the line they have so you can follow. So it tells you when to brake to accelerate. You've got also all the trawler tracks control and aids and everything. But you can literally turn all these aids on, and then just drive the car with one button. They call it one button driving. And so this has kind of allowed people a 65-year-old, like an elderly guy who loves cars but can't really play games at all, or an 8-year-old who just wants to drive a Ferrari, and he loves a Ferrari or Lamborghini because they love it. Ryan could point out in the comments what platform it's on. Xbox 360. It's exclusive to Xbox 360. But as I was saying, they're trying to cater it so that whatever age, whatever skill level, you can still play this game and enjoy it. And it doesn't have to be just about driving, because it's such an immersive game. It looks fantastic. They've worked on the tyre, they've worked on physics, they've worked with Michelin and also with McLaren to work on the physics, and also tyre deformation and tyre flex on the rubber. So they're trying to make that as realistic as possible. The graphics are brilliant. It hasn't got 1,000 cars like Gran Turismo, it's only got 400 plus, and they've got 100.
Only 400, okay.
Yeah, only 400, but they've got there's good car. What I've seen, there's good car models. There's really good ones. There's obviously cars like the original Mark 1 Golf. You've got obviously all these different racing cars, like the Le Mans cars. You've got also proper sports cars as well. You've got all your Ferraris, Lamborghinis, and Porsches, McLaren. So,
looks like we've dropped Scott again.
No.
Are you still here? Brilliant.
My finger accidentally dropped the hold button. But I'll carry on. All the proper end supercars down to your domestic cars like your Ford Fiestas and your Vauxhall Corsas and Seat Ibizas. There's something in there for everyone. And the game's not just about driving. It's all about sharing, tuning your cars and tuning setups. Yeah. A big part is also the livery editor, so you can edit paint jobs and,
another quite in-depth game. So what we're basically summarising, the sim racing games these days, they're quite customisable and they're quite in-depth, and they allow for a lot more than just racing on the track. Now we've got a few minutes left, Scott. Do you want to talk about sim racing games from days of past, or have you got something else in mind you wanted to discuss?
That sounds like a fine idea, Gavin. I think we'll do that. We did say about Colin McRae. We did say about Dirt 2. I did see that Lukey's putting a random fact about Colin McRae Dirt 2. That he's put in there, which I did notice as well, on the last game, the Colin McRae Challenge. But there's a random fact that you could be saying Dirt 2. Co-bosses have worked with Ari Vatanen, David Coulthard, Dario Franchitti, and more when working on the game. And they are
okay. So basically, we've got a political element, a crashing element, and an awesome Scotsman in it.
That's
quite a mix. I think that's going to be very random, that game.
Yeah, and also in the Colin McRae Challenge, you've got other names like his father Jimmy, his brother Alistair. You've also got
Father Jimmy. Is he like the lost priest of Father Ted or something? Or
Jim McRae.
Yeah, of course.
And also in there, also is Valentino Rossi as well. He's also one of the drivers in there as well, in rally driving.
The Colin McRae series has gone quite a long way. I mean, the first one was basically as much as a rally sim as you could get on the first PlayStation, and now it's become quite a more broad ranging game. It used to be just a WRC, and now it's dirt, hill climbs, rallycross, all sorts, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, looking back to the first one, there was quite a nice, selection of cars, and there was also a training school, a driving school, so you could learn how to properly drive a rally car in the game. Only really became what it is today when they announced Dirt, and Dirt kind of catered for all the different kind of racing modes. There was kind of all the off-road trucks and everything, and all the hill climbing, the rally cross. The Colin McRae series hasn't really come on strong. I mean, obviously, Colin McRae is no longer with us, so, you know, and obviously, you know, that is very sad to know that obviously he's not no longer with us on this around, but obviously his legacy lives on in his racing games. I think that's perfect, really, really good, because at the end of the career, which I noticed when I was going to say, and when you finish the Colin McRae challenge, there is a small little video cinematic showing all of his main driving elements, and it's really just, it's not haunting, but it's kind of a really nice touching way to kind of pay tribute to him.
It's a good tribute to him, isn't it? From the comments, I think Steve from Oklahoma said Grand Prix 2 was a classic. I would say yes, but not as much a classic as Grand Prix 1, which was the first proper sim racing game I enjoyed and got involved with. And it blew my mind, the fact you could actually set up the car and drive the real Formula 1 cars around the real Formula 1 tracks. Because at the time, there was nothing like that, so... Probably one of the first proper licensed simulators, and they've just grown from there. So, but in essence, if you play Grand Prix 1, you're still playing a very similar sort of game. The fundamentals are the same. It's just that everything's evolved and got a lot better. So,
yeah, I mean, personally, I enjoyed Grand Prix 3 because that's the only one I really properly played. I did have Grand Prix 4, but for some reason, it always made my computer crash for some reason. Looking back, we're talking about Need for Speed. Also, looking back at some of the games before, some of the games I enjoyed back then. I never played the first few ones, the first couple, but I did have Need for Speed 3, and also I really did enjoy Need for Speed 4, which was either cool. They had two different names. It had either Road Challenge or High Stakes, but the Need for Speed games are all pretty good. Also, games like, I don't know, Most Wanted and the whole street racing stuff was where it went down. That was pretty fun to an extent. We also talked about the Grand Prix Legends is a brilliant classic sim. Obviously, I'm sure you've heard me, Gavin.
I've been a Grand Prix Legends stalwart for a long time. I've been one of those that tried to keep the game going and such as it's transcended PC formats, and it's very hard these days to get it working properly on XP, and I believe when Windows 7 comes out it may actually finally die because it won't be supported anymore. But a fantastic game, way too difficult, and just absolutely brilliant, so realistic, and harks back to an era of proper grunty Formula 1 cars without wings, and it's the sort of game that Stephen Roy would love for that reason alone. But I think we've pretty much run out of time here, Scott, so would you like to just give a wrap up and any final comments? This has been a brilliant show so far for me.
Thank you. Obviously, it's been great. I hope everyone has enjoyed the show and they've found it quite interesting. And find it hopefully not just been us two guys talking about games for an hour. Hopefully you have learned something from it and can take away something from it. And hopefully it will turn some of you guys into sim racers and, you know, persuade you to part with your hard-earned cash to get out onto the virtual racetrack. Or maybe you decide just to leave and spend on better things, like things that matter. It's been a great show, and obviously it's been great to express these kind of views on something which I like, which is sim racing. So just want to say thanks to everyone for listening to it. Thanks, obviously, also, of course, big thanks to Gavin for appearing with me as well, because obviously to helping me out with this one. It's been a brilliant show, so I have to say thanks very much, and hope we just keep this on SidePod Radio, here on sidepodcast.com for the next... Looking how long we've got left on this one. I think it's 6.5 hours of broadcasting. And of course, donate. If you want to donate towards the charity cause, then do so. You can click the donate button on the side at sidepodcast.com. And of course, if you want to leave a voicemail, it's 012128 track. So from myself, Scott Woodwiss, and Gavin Brown, we shall sign off. And hopefully, there's plans possibly to turn it into a regular show for myself, but haven't really decided that yet. But it is now 5:30, so we will now hand over to the next show in the lineup, which is back to Alex Andronov. So thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you, guys.